This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The causes of autism aren't known. There is no autism blood test. It's diagnosed by observing behavior, and the sooner it's in a child's life, the better. Autism screening is now recommended for all children at ages 18 months and 2 years. But how to do that? Where do you go? And what happens if the diagnosis is yes? Well, the first place to look is online for those in San Antonio. Go to autismlifelinelinks.com. It's a new website. It's a newly launched online service helping families dealing with autism. We're joined by Tullis Wells, the director of the Gronkowski Charitable Foundation, which funded this nonprofit, Autism Lifeline Links, and Kim Jeffries, the CEO of the Brighton Center San Antonio, which provides services to children with disabilities and delays. And Kim and Tullis, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, David.
Our phone lines are open. If you got a question or comment about autism and finding services and fighting for services for your child, I mean, maybe at public schools, give us a call. We want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to thesource at tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. So tell us, Wells, tell me, why did the Gronkowski Foundation so big in this area?
Well, we got into it gradually. A couple of years ago, we looked at the issues that were haunting the greater San Antonio area, our service area, and realized that autism was a common denominator not only for the number of people who suffer from the disorder, but also for their families, for the school districts that work with them, and so on and so forth. So we pulled together Kim and many of her colleagues who have been in this world a long time and did some research and commissioned some research that came back that showed this is a problem that resonates even more harshly in San Antonio families than we had originally anticipated. A big need to do something different, and so we decided to invest with Kim and the other folks who collaborate with us on this into how we can make life better for these families. Autism really hurts. It hurts the families, it hurts those who suffer from it, and it hurts the community.
We hear about autism spectrum disorder, and now folks with Asperger's are considered to be autistic now. I mean, so Kim, when we talk about autism, how severe are we talking about?
You know, it is a spectrum disorder. It's a neurodevelopmental disorder, and it's really characterized by, you know, people who have difficulty with communication, so the back and forth of human interaction, language development, and sometimes you'll see repetitive behaviors and that kind of stuff. So it can range the spectrum just depending on the child and depending on the intervention they get and when they get intervention, what type of intervention they get, how early they get that intervention. That can make a significant difference in the life of a child. There's no cure for autism, and so it's going to impact a child from childhood all the way through adulthood. And so it's finding ways to teach behaviors that are appropriate, teach them communication skills, teach them how to minimize some of those other behaviors.
So a child who may be on the spectrum, if they get, and if they're not severely autistic, but they're on the spectrum, if they can get services early on dealing with the language development and behavioral and communications, and that's really the time to go there.
Yeah, so brain development tells us between birth and five are the best years to make connections in the brain. And so when we can get in there early and provide intensive behavioral intervention, 40% of the kids that receive that before the age of five will not need services in the special education system. So that saves money, and it also gives that child a chance at a successful life.
So to tell us, Wells, that means time is critical. People don't have time to sit around and deal with waiting list to get diagnosed, to find treatment, and to begin that treatment?
Well, time is certainly critical, as Kim indicated. But the other critical part of this is lack of resources. I mean, one of the reasons we decided to invest in this as much as we are and to bring others with us is because even if we could get every kid who needed to be tested, the resources to provide the AB therapy that they need, behavioral therapy that they need is very scarce in the greater San Antonio area, and that's one of the things we're trying to address in the upcoming legislative session and with the service providers in and around San Antonio.
But also on this website, the autismlifelinelinks.com, you can – it's a streamlining of services. You can find out where to go, .org, where you can go. So
that's correct. I mean, one of the biggest frustrations, David, we heard about as we invested in this is families who get a call from the school or the pediatrician says, I think perhaps your child is on the spectrum disorder list for autism. And so once you have that, you got to figure out, well, what do you do with that information? And the families would tell us from focus groups we did and other things, they had no idea where to start. They would Google autism in San Antonio. There would be a host of things that would pop up. But there was no one-stop shopping, so these families could say, I can go there. If I go there, that'll be my gateway into an organized access to additional resources. And so Autism Lifeline Links, which we just stood up a little over a week ago, is that vehicle to give families that one place to start and have access to a host of other resources rather than having to go check here, check there, check everywhere. It really does eliminate a lot of the horror of what do you do when you have this diagnosis.
Yeah, I was getting ready for the show and researching. I Googled around and I saw lots of other websites, similar names, kind of similar missions, but not as robust as the one that you put together, the .org. I went to the .com and found something, but that's not it. It's the .org, and it's the autismlifelinelinks.org, and it has all that information there. So how does that – so Kim Jeffries at Brighton Center, how does that tie in with what you do?
So it's what they've done, what Gronkowski has done through Autism Lifeline Links is bring us all together to share information in a platform in a way that we haven't before, to give us access to information more quickly with each other, make referrals so that families kind of streamline those services for them. So we're working on the back end so that they don't have to make 10 calls themselves. We're doing that legwork for them on the back end. And I think one of the unique things about Autism Lifeline Links is they have a care coordinator. And so somebody, when they register online, they can register themselves online and they'll get a phone call that kind of walks them through what are your needs and gives them to the right people and hands them that warm handoff to an agency, and then we wrap around all of our services. And so there's respite care services, there are prescription assistance services, there's case management services, there's therapy services, there's applied behavioral analysis services, there's diagnosis services, there's all kinds of services within Autism Lifeline Links, even residential services for older individuals with autism in this collaboration to kind of walk the family through their journey.
I can imagine how a family could get lost real quick with all of these options, and they need someone who's been through it all before who can be an advocate for them. We're going to continue talking about this, and we invite you to call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about autismlifelinelinks.org, and we'll be right back after 1 minute. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. More than 30,000 adults and children in the San Antonio area live with autism spectrum disorder. A report commissioned by the Gronkowski Charitable Foundation found that 1 in 79 people in San Antonio and the surrounding area have some form of this condition. Now an online service is being launched to help those dealing with an autism diagnosis, streamlining services and making treatment more available. We're joined by Tullis Wells, the director of the Gronkowski Charitable Foundation, which funded the Autism Lifeline Link. Links.org, and Kim Jeffries, the CEO of the Brighton Center San Antonio, which provides services to children with disabilities and developmental delays. And our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment, we want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. And Janelle Lee is on the phone, or June Lee?
Hi, Janelle Lee?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, it's Janelle. First and foremost, I just want to thank both of your experts on air for all that they do. I'm a parent of an autism kiddo, recently diagnosed. For a little while, he now attends Brighton Center, and he's like a brand new kid, so I'm super, super grateful for everyone at Brighton Center. But for a little while, we were waitlisted, and this was before this great website was launched. So I wanted to see what their take was for those families like mine who were on waitlists with like Autism Community Network or for the school district even. What do you recommend to those parents they do? Because every day it's tough, and sometimes you just need answers right now. And I know this website's great, but is there anyone that they can go talk to one-on-one? What's your recommendation for parents like those?
Well, you know, it's a great question, and I don't think, you know, one website's going to solve all the answers overnight, but what we're trying to do is figure out what is that capacity issue and how long are people actually waiting on a diagnosis. But in the meantime, you know, when they register online, you'll get a call from that care coordinator and hook you into services with a case manager who can start working on the needs that the family has while you're waiting for that diagnosis. Just because you don't have that diagnosis doesn't mean you can't get supports and services from the community agencies that are part of Autism Lifeline Links. We know it's a trying time for families, and so we want to support them as much as possible during that time. But we are going to be looking at the data as a collective to see, you know, what are those wait times and how do we increase that provider capacity in the San Antonio area, especially for diagnostics and applied behavior analysis.
I've heard the saying, if you've seen one case of autism, you've seen one case of autism. That you can't compare or make. But I want to ask you, what is typically the services, what do people need when they call you up? What's the first thing they need?
Typically what they need is just to figure out what is this and what does this mean for their family. So kind of working through that. But, you know, most children with autism might need some sort of speech therapy services because of a language delay. And we know from evidence that evidence-based research that applied behavioral analysis is effective for children with autism on the spectrum. And so if they can get access to ABA, that's applied behavioral analysis, which is basically using learning techniques to change behaviors that are maybe self-injurious or dangerous, to develop new skills or to modify behavior that's not where it needs to be. So it's really intensive therapy to provide that. They may need occupational therapy because we talked about earlier sensory kind of issues, being overstimulated and overwhelmed with sensory input and processing that information. So they might need occupational therapy. So there's a lot of services that are out there that they don't have to have an autism diagnosis for that they can qualify for, and we get them started.
And what
on.
About hope? Can you give them some kind of hope that, you know, this is something they can work with?
Absolutely. And I think that's the beauty of Autism Lifeline Links is, you know, we're going to walk through that with them from beginning to end. And they can have access to other families and meet other families and support groups that can let them know, hey, my kid is now this age and this is what we're doing and these are the successes we're having, and hear that from other parents, which is meaningful.
Okay, another caller with Jenna. And Jenna, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, great. Thanks for having me. So my question is about autism and their relations with vaccines. I'm taking medical classes, and we're told to tell patients that, or tell parents at least, that there is no link between autism and vaccines. So does autism, the website, have a particular stance on whether or not autism is linked with vaccines? And, you know, because some parents are reluctant to get their child vaccinated. So what is the stance, or what is the new research about that particular topic?
Okay, Jenna, thank you for your call. Appreciate that. Tell us, Wells.
Well, I appreciate the question. We understand many folks do struggle with that potential connection. We're agnostic on that. And we don't know, and we don't pretend to know the answer to that question. What we do is families who are there for whatever reason with autistic family members, this is a one-stop shop where they can go and, as Kim said, get access to a range of resources through one funnel point rather than having to go to the different silos that have existed in San Antonio and every other community around the country, rather than, as Kim mentioned, the care coordinator and the case management process that you get through Autism Lifeline Links. So I know that question is out there for many. My good friend Nico LaHood is passionate about one side of it. My dear friend Melissa Svoboda is passionate about the other side. But that's not our issue. Our issue is, once you have the diagnosis or have a sense that there's an issue with your family, we're here to help.
And I do want to say that there is no scientific evidence that links vaccinations with autism. And let's go to the next caller. Andrea is on the line. Andrea, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much for raising the topic, for taking my call. I just had a quick question. I have a son who's 13 years old, and we've had extensive ABA therapy for the last 3 to 5 years. My son has made a lot of progress. He gets ABA through a day program, along with speech and occupational therapy. One problem that we've had, and I'm curious to know if this is going to be addressed at the state level, is that when we put our child into a public school, often the school cannot maintain the gains that the child has made just because of services and availability of ABA specialists within a school district. So I was just curious, and you know, if there's any discussion of that at the state level coming up, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay, Andrea, thank you for the call. And do you want to take
the... Yeah, I'll take that one. So that's one of the support services that Autism Lifeline Links provides. It's helping parents navigate that special education process in the school system, because every child is required to receive a free and appropriate public education, and that's what the law says. And so if it's appropriate for their child to receive ABA services, then, you know, the school should provide that. And so we can work with the family on how to access services that are educationally relevant for that child's education. Because that's one thing we don't want to see. If a child is making progress, for them to regress. And the school has things in place to try to minimize that or eliminate regression. And so we can help parents access those services.
So, Thomas Wells, is there some sort of advocacy that can be happening at the legislative level that the Kronkowski Charitable Foundation can join in on?
There is, Dave, and we're going to be very muscular on this in the upcoming session. As I said, we've met with the speaker. Senator Campbell came and gave us a great deal of her time the other day to understand the issue as it relates to ABA therapy and the access to it in Texas. And with a couple of small changes just in the regulatory process, we can probably substantially increase the access to ABA therapy resources going forward in Texas. So advocacy is going to be an important part of what we do as we go forward with this, because the need in Texas is behind what other states have been willing to do. And we've been pleased to see the support we've gotten from the speaker, from Senator Campbell, from Senator Menendez, and the others with whom we are working.
Now, the caller, Barbara, is on the line. Barbara, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on. My question was about my son, who is a 14-year-old who goes to a private school, has not been tested officially by this school, but who we have suspected has, you know, I know Asperger's isn't really a term that's being used these days, but at least high-functioning level of autism. And we've sought out various resources from the time that he was developmentally delayed as a toddler, and it ranged from nonprofit organizations to private organizations, but it never really was a follow through on anybody's part as far as agencies went. It was kind of like, well, he's made progress and now he doesn't need to be in the program anymore. So there was no continuum. So what we had to do, because of my son's transition to high school, this really affected his self-esteem, and he was really afraid of not being able to make friends or communicate effectively. So we just, because of a friend of mine who's in the network, went to a private organization where we just kind of like gave them some of his behavioral, descriptions. And she said, I'm pretty sure, I'm almost positive that he does fit on the scale. But then went on to further say that there's an official test that needs to be conducted where she estimated would be somewhere around $1,000 through her organization. And I was just wondering, for a kid who's 14 years old and has not been through an official, test diagnosis, what are the chances of having that done where you can utilize the mental health aspect of your insurance?
Okay, Barbara, thank you for the call. And Kim, there's a lot there.
Yeah, there's a lot there. So really, you want a multidisciplinary diagnostic assessment. And so, yes, you can access it through mental health providers. So a psychiatrist, psychologist, licensed school psychologist at a public school, speech language pathologist, or developmental pediatricians can all diagnose autism. So I think, you know, there is value in getting that diagnosis if it's affecting the child in their life. You know, if it's not and they're able to negotiate the social aspects of, you know, life and be successful, then, you know, you may not want to go after that diagnosis. But it does provide access to other services if you do get that diagnosis. So I would say, you know, going to one of those folks or going to a pediatrician and getting a referral to a developmental pediatrician. And in AutismLifelineLinks.org, we have access to diagnostics as well. So, you know, it does depend on your insurance and what they will cover. And that's one of the things, you know, we're looking at from a legislative standpoint is how do we make sure all insurance companies cover and reimburse at the rates for doctors and pediatricians to do the diagnostic assessment.
So diagnostics, that's so critically important, being diagnosed. But there seems to be a lag in gender. The people think about boys are more quickly to be diagnosed than girls. So, I mean, how do we make sure that people realize that it's not a autism spectrum disorder is not weighted heavily towards one or the other?
It doesn't discriminate. So boys, girls, well, it is. Boys are four times more likely to develop autism than girls. So there is that in the research. And so it is important, whether your child is a girl or a boy, if you see some of the early warning signs, you know, at 12 months, you know, of age, they're really not babbling. By two, they're not putting two word combinations together. If they lose any kind of social, if they're not doing the give and take of human interaction, so a baby will look at you and smile and coo even at 6 months. And so if they're not doing those things, then you really want to, you know, have them evaluated by a pediatrician or somebody who can provide the diagnosis.
The website is autismlifelinelinks.org. I want to thank you both. Tullis Wells, the director of the Kronkowski Charitable Foundation, which funded the nonprofit that is putting up this website and all the services that's linking everyone together here. Kim Jeffries, the CEO of the Brighton Center San Antonio. Thank y'all so much for joining us. When we come back from the NPR news break, we're going to be talking about the San Antonio Spurs. What are your favorite Spurs memories? Stay tuned.